Let's talk about ears for a moment. History for an ear. You want to ask about earaches, infections, discharge, hearing loss, environmental noise, tinnitus, vertigo, and self-care. Now, what is the number one cause of hearing loss in the world?
Loud noises.
Loud noises. And in the United States, what is the number one loud noise people are exposed to? Their personal earbuds. iPods, iPhones, in the old days, the Walkman. They still have the Walkman, the Sony Walkman MP3 player phone. I actually have one.
Isn't it like in a museum? I think that
would. Yes, it is. Yeah. Now, the ear itself. Here we've got a section of the ear. So this is the outside of the ear right here. What's the outside of the ear called? It has two words. Pinna is one, and auricle is the other. A-U-R-I-C-L-E. It's not on there. No. Maybe, I don't know. All right, so then we have this little part right here. This is called the external auditory canal. And then the external auditory canal ends with the tympanic membrane, which is a thin membrane of membranes that's stretched across the opening like a drum. So your tympanic membrane is like a drum. So what happens when you hit a drum? It vibrates, and the vibrations make noise. So as sound moves into the ear, it vibrates that tympanic membrane. The tympanic membrane, in turn, vibrates onto some bones. Three bones make up your middle ear bones. What are they? Okay. In English, you could say the hammer and the anvil, but we prefer the term stapes, malleus, and inca. Incus, incum, one of those words. All right. Then from here, it's going to keep moving on down, and then it's actually going to drain into a tube. This tube right here is called the eustachian tube. What's the purpose of this eustachian tube?
Pressure.
Let's imagine for a moment that this tube was not here, and you went diving. As you went diving, what would happen to the pressure outside your ear? It would get bigger and bigger, and it would push on the tympanic membrane until it went and imploded. Or on the other hand, let's imagine for a moment that you went up in an airplane. And as you go up in the airplane, what happens to the pressure on the outside of the ear? It gets less and less until this would bow outwards and then pop outwards. So the reason for this eustachian tube is to allow equalization of pressure on both sides. So what interferes with that function? Fluid buildup, okay. And what are the most common causes for fluid buildup? Colds and allergies. You can't really see it on this diagram, but there's also a middle ear that goes farther on this direction that's characterized by what we call the labyrinth. The labyrinth is a twisty little passage filled with fluid, and inside there we're going to have the cochlear part of the ear, where you have semicircular fluid tubes that have little cilia in them. And as you move your head, the fluid moves the cilia. Your body feels the direction the cilia move, and that lets you know whether you're standing up, turning, staying still, etc. So when you have vertigo and it feels like the room is spinning around you, it's because those cilia are moving even though you're standing still. So that's what allows a person to be to interpret body movements and directional cues. Now, what's really interesting about this is that your cilia can be reset. So if you stood like this for a couple hours, when you stood back up straight, then you would feel like you're cockeyed, and you would feel like you're normal with your head like this. Now, that's usually not a problem for most people, but who could it be a problem for? No. pilots. Yeah, there have been cases where pilots were flying through clouds for long periods of time, and the plane was actually like this. And so they began to feel like this was normal, and they didn't trust their instruments that they were cockeyed, so they ended up crashing into things. Nowadays, we've learned about that, so we tell people not to trust their own senses, but to trust the instruments. Beautiful. All right, once you... Oh, I can't see that, can I? All right, if you look inside the ear with an otoscope, you're going to see something that looks kind of like this. Really? Okay, we'll look at it on this computer here. Is that better? All right, so... What's this little thing right here look like? A reflection. All right. The reflection is called the cone of light. The cone of light always points forward and a little down. So, which ear is this going to be? If it's forward and a little down. Let's see. Which direction is it pointing? It's pointing this way, so if I looked in my right ear, it would be pointing backwards. So it must be the left ear. So it always points forward and a little down. You can also see some of the bones right up in here. I think this is the umbo. Yeah, we don't really care. You don't have to know the names of the bones for our purposes. If you go back to nurse practitioner school or medical school, then you'll learn them. But for now, you just need to know that these are bones. Now, this whole part right in here, it should be pearly gray. That's gray enough. Slightly reddish is normal. What it should not be is bright red, and it should not be bulging out or sunken in. You should also not see air bubbles behind it. If you see air bubbles behind it, that's a good sign that the patient has what we call serosotitis, or fluid buildup in their middle ear. Again, what's the most common causes for that?
Allergies and cold.
Sometimes you'll see a little hole in it that is called a perforation, and they can be accidental, where you blow your eardrums by accident, or it can be purposeful as a result of scarring from having tubes put into a person's ear. So little kids, sometimes they have recurrent ear infections. To relieve the pain, what they'll do is they'll poke holes in their tympanic membranes, and they'll put a little plastic sleeve or insert in there that keeps them open. And that way, fluid can drain in and out without getting caught. So that's what happens when a person has tubes in their ear. Any questions about that?
What does
an ear
look like
in
an ear?
An ear infection? Here, hang on a second. Let's see. Okay, that's just a giant hole in the tympanic membrane. Let's see, what else do we have here? Oh yeah, you don't hear nearly as well once you have that. Okay, so I don't know how well you can see that, but the ear is inflamed now, so there's a lot more red. Also, you'll notice these little red blood vessels here. Those are that's called hyperemia, so excess blood in that part of the ear. If you see these little red blood vessels without the rest of it being red, that's usually just a sign that the person is hot and has vasodilation. All right. Let's move on with our story. So what first thing we're going to do is we're going to check the outside shape of the ear, the pinna. We're going to assess the ear for tenderness. So grab your ear. Pull up and down a little bit, pull out. Does that hurt? Shouldn't hurt. If it does, that's a sign of pinna tenderness, possibly inflammation. Then we're going to look at the external meatus. Meatus is just a fancy word for opening. So we're going to look at the opening of the ear, see if there's anything coming out of it, like green ooze or smells or... Yes, gross. Then we're going to take our otoscope, and we're going to put it into the ear. We're going to look for the external auditory canal, or the EAC, not the Eastern Australian Current. And we're going to look at the tympanic membrane, or the TM. We can also do hearing tests. We've already talked about the whispered test, and we've also talked about Weber and Rinn. You can also do a Romberg test for balance. That's testing the inner ear function, not hearing. All right, nose. For the nose, we want to ask about history of discharge, infections and colds, sinus pain, trauma, like nose breaks, epistaxis, what did we say epistaxis was? Nose bleeds, and allergies. I used to have a lot of pictures. I don't know what happened to them. It's very sad, isn't it? Ooh, that's a good one. Yep. Copyrighted by Adam. All right, so here we have the nasal passages coming in. Notice these bony projections. What are they called? Turbinites. Turbinates. So turbinates are going to help the air to swirl, which will help to trap particles. So the nose comes in through here, swirls through here, and then comes back down. In this case, this person has allergies, so these are inflamed and enlarged. They've also got red puffy eyes, and you can see postnasal drip draining out the back. Beautiful, isn't it? All right. The sinuses are a series of pockets in the head. Why would we have pockets in our head? Why? Say again? Why would we have holes in the middle of our heads, pockets in our heads? Pressure? Well, it's not to relieve pressure. It's actually to lighten up our skulls. So the main pockets are the maxillary on the cheeks and the frontal right above the forehead. There's two additional ones. There's ethmoid and sphenoid that are back behind the nose area. So when you palpate or percuss for those, you typically going to do the maxillary and the frontal. And you can kind of pinch inwards here, and sometimes that will also tell you something. Still don't have a good picture of the nose front on. That's right. We'll all look up each other's noses in a few minutes. Oh, yes, you are. Yeah, we're all going to look up Fernanda's nose. All right, mouth. Going to ask about sores and lesions, sore throat, bleeding gums, toothache, hoarseness, dysphagia, altered taste, known as dysgeusia, smoking, ethanol, and self-care. Again, what is the number one cause of oral cancers?
Tobacco.
And not just smoking, also chewing tobacco and dip. Is dip still popular?
Yeah.
Yes,
very much so.
Yeah, I don't see it as often, but like back in the early 90s, everywhere you went, you know, you see that round bulge in a guy's pocket from the, and like, and there's a, everyone had like an empty Coke can. No matter what, girls started doing it.
Guys, big as fuck.
I'm not sure if it's just that maybe it's mostly popular with like teenagers, and as you get older it becomes less popular, but I just don't notice it as often as I used to. Maybe I just don't hang around that bad element anymore. That's a whole team.
Almost, yeah. And there were like plastic cups everywhere with dip and like little paper towels, so it wasn't just like sitting in there at the bottom. It was so gross.
Well, good guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to inspect the outer nose, the nasal cavity, and palpate the sinuses. You can also inspect the sinuses. What you do is you shine a flashlight up to them and see the illumination of the flashlight. We're not going to do that.